and Romans chapter 16. Those two have a connection, and you'll see what that is in just a moment. This morning I was having a little throat issue. So tonight when I walked in, three different people was handing me stuff to help me. And I appreciate that. I do. But I'm figuring if I'm preaching and I got one of those in my mouth, number one, I'm going to be mumbling, so you're not going to understand me. Number two, I'm going to inhale one, and then I'm going to need CPR. So I'll wait till after I'm through. But I appreciate that. Y'all are a good bunch of folks. In Genesis 29, Jacob is running for his life from his brother Esau after his shenanigan and managing to obtain the birthright of the eldest brother. And so he's traveling east looking for some of his family that was over that way. And he comes upon a well with flocks of sheep from different herds waiting to be watered, waiting for the well to be uncovered so the sheep can be watered. And Jacob asked the people, where are you from? And they told him they were from Haran. He says, do you know Laban? Well, yeah, we know Laban. In fact, there's his daughter Rachel coming from him right now to water the flock of sheep that she is tending. So it says, starting in verse 9 of Genesis 29, now while he was still speaking to them, Rachel came with her father's sheep, for she was a shepherdess. And it came to pass when Jacob saw Rachel, the daughter of Laban, his mother's brother, and the sheep of Laban, his mother's brother, that Jacob went near and rolled a stone from the well's mouth and watered the flock of Laban, his mother's brother. Then Jacob kissed Rachel and lifted up his voice and wept. And Jacob told Rachel that he was her father's relative and that he was Rebekah's son. So she ran and told her father. Then it came to pass when Laban heard the report about Jacob, his sister's son, that he ran to meet him and embraced him and kissed him and brought him to his house. So he told Laban all these things, and Laban said to him, surely you are my bone and my flesh. And he stayed with him for a month. In the last chapter of the book of Romans, Paul gave greetings to people that meant a lot to him, people who were important to him. He mentioned more than 25 people. Among them were some folks found in verses 3 through 6, Romans 16, verse 3 through 6. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus, who risked their own necks for my life, to whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. Likewise, greet the church that is in their house. So there was a congregation that met in the home of Priscilla and her husband Aquila. Greet my beloved Epaphroditus, who is the first fruits of Achaia to Christ. The first Corinth, the first convert in Corinth would be Epaphroditus. Greet Mary, who labored much for us. And then later in that chapter, in verse 16, he told them how to greet each other. He said, greet one another with a holy kiss. The churches of Christ greet you. King James says, the churches of Christ salute you. I'm reading my text this evening from the New King James Version. Now, let me just, before we get into the details of these scriptures, let me tell you about a young fellow that was wanting to be a preacher. He wanted it so badly. He trained, he was studying hard, and he was so conscientious, so careful to make sure he did everything exactly right. He tried his best to do his best and to do everything by the book. He was determined not to do anything that was unscriptural. And he had a girlfriend who was beginning to get a little impatient with him. I mean, it was all she could do to get him to hold her hand. And so she was kind of impatient because he wouldn't kiss her. Can you imagine a boy that wouldn't kiss his girlfriend? Well, he wouldn't. He was conscientious about it. So one day, she decided to kiss him. And she did. And when she kissed him, he said, hey, wait a minute. Where does the Bible say that we can do that? And she said in Matthew 7:12, it says, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Greet one another with a holy kiss. It says that it's with a holy kiss that they were to greet one another. And if you don't know what a holy kiss is, as opposed to just a regular kiss, a holy kiss is simply a righteous display of affection. Nothing more, nothing less. A righteous display of affection. Now, I've visited in my travels with the India work over the past 12 years, I have visited in a lot of congregations, from Chicago to San Diego and every place in between. And I have been in, I think, two congregations where I saw this exact thing still being practiced, primarily with the elders and their wives, and they would greet each other with a holy kiss. They would kiss one another. Whenever the church assembled, they would kiss each other. And it felt a little strange to me, a little bit, but how can you argue? You can't argue. You can't say, oh, no, they couldn't do that. And it wasn't just the elders kissing the elders' wives either. The elders kissed each other on the cheek, and the wives kissed each other on the cheek. It was indeed a holy kiss. It's the same kind of kiss that a mother would kiss her baby. Just a sweet little kiss right on the cheek. It's the same kind of kiss that a father will kiss his bride on her wedding day. The same kind of kiss that a little girl will kiss her daddy with, right on the cheek. Just, daddy, I love you, and just kiss him right on the cheek. That's the same kind of thing. The holy kiss. Now, you know that somebody, anybody, can take something that is holy and turn it into something that is unholy. That can easily be done. Nadab and Abihu took holy worship and turned it into an abomination in Leviticus 10. Ananias and Sapphira took the blessedness of giving and turned it into a curse in Acts chapter 5. Of course, the marriage relationship has been corrupted so badly with adultery and divorce, homosexuality, and in many places, same-sex marriage is taking place. And then parent-child relationships have been perverted in so many ways, including abandonment and abuse. So you can take the holy and turn it into something that's unholy. But in our discussion this evening, we're talking about something that is holy and upright and that is not to be ignored. Now you say, now Robert, are you telling us we're supposed to be kissing each other? Don't get ahead of me. Let's not draw conclusions till we get to the conclusion, which ain't going to be too long, because I'm already on my last page. I only had two pages. Of course, Faye knows the truth. If I have two pages of notes, a lot of times it's a long sermon. If I have six pages, it can be a short one. You never know. The holy greeting is not a custom. The holy greeting is a command. It is a command. It is something that we see throughout the New Testament, greeting one another. It is a command that must be obeyed. It's more than just a good idea. We are commanded, greet one another with a holy kiss. The actual word greet means to embrace. It means to embrace. And that doesn't necessarily mean grabbing each other in a hug either. It means simply to welcome to yourself. That's what an embrace is all about. To welcome to yourself. And so when we talk about greeting, we're talking about receiving joyfully, receiving with welcome the greeting of another. We greet and we are greeted, and we give it and we receive it joyfully, and we welcome it when it comes back to us. The holy greeting is something that's going to come from the heart. You know, you can say hi to somebody and really not even mean it. You know, you can say hi and wish you didn't have to. All right. If there's somebody that you just don't really care for that much, you may speak to them and be cordial because, let's face it, Southern hospitality demands that, doesn't it? And of course, when they go on, and sometimes you might be tempted to say something about them to somebody else, followed, of course, with a bless their heart, because that's a requirement here as well, isn't it? But the thing is, if it is a holy greeting, it comes from the heart. Greet one another with a holy kiss is used four other times in Scripture. In 1 Corinthians 16:20 and 2 Corinthians 13:12, greet one another with a holy kiss. Then there's two other phrases, slightly different. 1 Thessalonians 5:26, greet all the brethren with a holy kiss. And then in 1 Peter 5:14, greet one another with a kiss of love. So you get the idea that there was a lot of greeting going on. And while the form of greeting becomes simply a cultural matter, the greeting itself is not cultural. We read earlier in Genesis 29 how that Laban ran and kissed Jacob. When Jesus told the story of the prodigal son, when the father saw his son, he ran to him. Old men didn't run in that time. Old men didn't run. Young men ran, but old men didn't run. But Laban ran and kissed his nephew Jacob. And the father ran and fell on his neck of his son and kissed him. In Luke 15. Some cultures, of course, still do this when they greet one another. In France, in Russia, there in many, many other places in the world, they still practice a cultural greeting that involves a kiss or two, or in the case of Russia, three kisses. And I don't remember which goes first, but it's one, two, three. That's the typical greeting among people that are close to one another there. Regardless of the form of the greeting, it is a symbol of godly love and an indication of unity, an indication of acceptance. Greeting with a holy kiss is a family matter. And that's what it's all about, is family. Ephesians 2:19, now therefore you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. We are family. And as family, we are to be familiar with one another. The word family, we get our word familiar from that. And familial love is the love in a family. And so we are to be familiar with one another. When you consider we are family, you talk about we're family with Jesus. It's a sad thing that Judas betrayed Jesus with a kiss, which should be an indication of unity and family, but it was not in that case. We are family with Jesus. We're family with one another. We not only have spiritual ties to one another, we have emotional ties to one another. We are intertwined in one another's lives, or so it should be. My mother had five sons, but she had many, many children. All of our friends, she considered them her children. Treated them like they were her children, and they loved her for it, and looked at her like a mother. That was the way she did. That's the attitude that she had. Those of you that knew her knew that that was the case with her. She never was rejecting of one of our friends. And that's the kind of love, that's the kind of commitment, that's the kind of ties that are present in family. Greeting with a holy kiss is an affectionate action. It's not just a ritual. It is an action that involves affection. In Romans 12:10, be kindly affectionate to one another in brotherly love. 1 Thessalonians 4:9, but concerning brotherly love, you have no need that I should write to you, for you yourselves are taught by God to love one another. So what do we do then? What are we supposed to do with this? Does this mean that we're supposed to start kissing each other? Literally, kissing each other. Is that what this is saying? Well, I have upheld for years that the greeting is a requirement, but the way we greet is the matter of culture. In the culture of that day, greeting with a kiss was the common practice. In our culture today, greeting with a what? A handshake is the common practice. Now, while there are some, I don't know how to call them. There's some folks that are just a little bit, what's a really good word? Irritating, who refuse to shake hands. They just won't shake hands. They don't believe in it. They just, no, you're spreading germs if you shake hands. Hey, get you a bottle of Purex or Purell or whatever they call that stuff, waterless hand cleaner. If you're worried about that, keep wash your hands and wash them often. But the idea that you're not going to greet somebody, you're not going to express some warmth to somebody, and of course, that's our culture. But would there be any harm in greeting one another with a holy kiss? Would that be a problem? If it is, we got some issues that need to be dealt with. You got some issues that need to be dealt with if it's a problem for you. But we must greet one another. That is the point. That is the point. And it is to be, we're to greet one another in a holy manner. In an honest, holy manner that expresses our love and our unity, our affection, our family relationship with one another. Now, what do others see when they see our greeting? When others see us greet one another? I mean, let's face it. If you really enjoy being with someone, your face is going to show it. Can't help it. Even old stone-faced people, you know, men that don't show a lot of emotion, but there's still going to be a smile. There's going to be a twinkle in the eye. As you stick out that hand, or you wrap that bare arm around that person and give them a hug, or even if you give them a peck on the cheek, there's going to be some smile, some indication on the face that you're glad to see them, that you're happy to be in their presence. That will be obvious. That much is clear when you like somebody that you're with. Now, let's face the reality. Not everybody is a whole lot of fun. Sorry. Don't know how else to say that. Not everybody's a whole lot of fun. Not everybody's a barrel of laughs. Not everybody is pleasant at all times to be around. My children, early in the morning, I'm not going to say it, but ooh, be careful. Be careful. Because you don't want to push too far. Or too hard. Are you like that? Are you kind of grumpy in the morning? Did I say grumpy? I didn't mean to, girls. Are you kind of grumpy in the morning? Did you hear about the fella that was asked, do you wake up grumpy every morning? Nope, sometimes I just let her sleep. Yeah, I know. I got to go home. I'll be in trouble. The point of all this is, what do others see when we greet one another? What do they see in our greeting? Number one, they see our genuine concern for one another. By this will all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. If you care, if you love one another. This is how people will see that you are my disciples. You are my family. You are my church. You are my followers. If you have love one for another, this is why you'll show it. So they can see that we're genuine in our concern and our care for each other. They can also see that we're genuine in our efforts to reach the lost. If we sincerely greet those that come to us and welcome them and make sure that they know that they're part of the family, that they know that they're important. Because let's face it, we are special in Christ. We have been chosen. Because we trust in Him, we've obeyed Him, we have been chosen by Him. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9 and 10, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light, who once were not a people. Once we were just a bunch of individuals, a bunch of strangers to one another. But now we are a people. We are a family. We are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own special people. we are now the people of God who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Our greeting then is more than a fine how do you do, okay? It is a demonstration of who we are. It is a testimony to the genuineness of our faith in Christ and our love for one another. It is demonstrates the love that Christ, or the love of Christ that lives in our lives when we greet one another with honesty, with sincerity, with a holy kiss, or any manner of holy greeting that we can do. We are revealing who we are and whose we are. And I will say this, this is the friendliest church I've ever had the privilege of working with. We must continue to do that, but not only with each other, but with everyone who comes to us. Make them feel welcome. Make them know that they're loved and that they're part of the family. Let's not overlook anyone, but let us greet one another with the holy kiss or the holy handshake or the holy hug. Let us greet one another honestly, in love, and real care. And God will be pleased, and He will be glorified. Greeting. So, one of the things that happens when I correspond with any of my friends in India, any of our preachers, when we correspond together, they always say to me, those who know about Tanner, they say, give my greetings to the church at Tanner or to the brethren there. Give my greetings. Those who don't know you but know my family, they say, please give my greetings to your family. And it's a constant thing. It's a regular thing. Give greetings. Give greetings. And you keep reading that in Scripture. Give greetings. Let us not minimize this. Let us not forget this. The importance of greeting one another, of being willing to speak to one another and to encourage each other, to express our love, our care. This way we can, if we're greeting one another, we're going to get to know each other better. And so let us continue to do that. Now, if you right now are feeling all alone, if you right now are indeed all alone, you don't have God in your life, you're not right with the Lord, and you feel like no one really understands and no one really cares, just know this fact, God really cares. And He wants to be in your life. And not just a convenient God, but He wants to be at the center of your life, be with you every minute of every day, every step along the way. God wants to be your God, and He wants you to be His child. And so if you're not a Christian, what better time than right now could there be for you to obey the gospel, to become a child of God? And if you're already a Christian, but you've been negligent in some of the things, and you have maybe been guilty of some other things, you've disobeyed God at times, you've refused to obey God in some things at times, you really need to rededicate yourself to Him and recommit and have a restart. Because, let's face it, we need each other, but we need God. And if you need anything tonight, if there's a way we can help you to make things right with God, we encourage you without delay to come as we stand and sing.